We're talking with Dr. Alice Green, who is Executive Director of the Center for Law and Justice in Albany. Alice was one of the participants at the criminal justice protest that took place in Albany this Saturday. But we'd also interviewed her last month, continuing report that the center had put out on structural racism and public safety in Albany. And in fact, this rally, while certainly the focus got a lot of attention because of the recent murder of George Floyd in Minnesota, and in fact, it initially been called to deal with some of the ongoing criminal justice problems we've seen here in the Capital District. So people can listen to the prior interview on the Media Sanctuary broadcast. But Alice, why don't you sort of, you know, what were some of the local criminal justice issues that you and others were trying to bring attention to this weekend?
Well, I think, first of all, people can listen and not only listen, but read all the communications that we've had with four key government officials because we were trying to get them to respond to the issues that we raised in an earlier report, and that was that the community that we deal with, mainly in the central city of Albany, people responded that they did not trust the Albany Police Department, mainly because they thought that that racism was a major problem in the department. They also said that they do not trust the district attorney's office because the district attorney's office, again, does not act in their best interest and has done things that were harmful to the community. They also were very continued to be mindful of the fact that the police department had brutalized people on First Street in Albany last year, and that a police detective had shot Eleazar Williams in the back while he was running away. And so they, you know, the community was really still thinking about all of those issues when we had the incident that occurred on Saturday. So not only were people responding to what had happened in Minneapolis, which many people obviously identified very closely with, and they were angry, upset, disappointed, and actually filled with hopelessness, because this was sort of the symbol of that, suggested that it represented African American experiences in this country since the period of enslavement, that white supremacists and white people and had basically had their knees on the necks of black people, and that we couldn't breathe and we had no freedom. So that message got got to the heart of the matter when on Saturday people were out there protesting. Now, the people who were protesting in the afternoon were basically people who were from the community, and that they relating this whole situation in Minneapolis to what they saw and experienced in the city of Albany in particular. So it was much more about what was happening in their community, even though they went there to express their anger about what had happened to George Floyd. So, but while I was there, you know, the thing that came across very clearly was that people were reacting to the treatment that they had gotten from the local law enforcement officials. And so that's what it was about, and it related to our report very directly. We had certainly tried to get the government officials to respond to the report that we did, to come together with us and provide some direction in terms of how we could deal with these problems. So I was really shocked to some extent that our government officials are expressing, that they thought this was so unexpected that they didn't think it could happen in Albany. As a matter of fact, the chief had a day before said, you know, our relationship with the community is very strong. We've made, you know, great strides. And so, therefore, they felt very comfortable that nothing that they had seen in Minneapolis could possibly happen in Albany. But they were wrong, and we've been telling them.
Could maybe, you know, explain a little bit about what did happen. I understand, you know, there were, you know, several thousand people initially at the rally, and then a march occurred, and at some point or very early on, in fact, the police were a little bit more aggressive than normal, with apparently police dogs and batons and, you know, pretty, you know, riot equipment, and at some point, tear gas and pepper spray were used, not seen in Albany in many years. Can you give us a little sense of how the day unfolded?
Well, it was actually two demonstrations. The first one that started at 1 o'clock was a very peaceful march run for 2.5 miles, and that ended. But there were people who were there in particularly in the South End and later in Arbor Hill, who were experiencing a great deal of emotion about this and felt they needed to express themselves in a different kind of way. And so those people were there with, their signs, they burned the flag, were expressing their concerns about the local police department and the district attorney, and that they want to change. So that's what they were talking about, which is exactly what we had pointed out in our report. So there was a lot of things going on in that evening in terms of demonstrations, and there was some looting later. But what concerned me the most right now is that the officials termed this as a riot. We see it as an uprising because people were venting their concerns about how they had been treated and continued to be treated in the community by police and other law enforcement. So it wasn't really, as I said, a riot in the sense that people were out there creating violence for no reason. They felt they had a reason, and this was how they were going to express it. And everybody expresses, you know, their fears and their anger in different ways. And some people, unfortunately, did some acts that were labeled as violent. But that's not the, you know, and we're sorry that people, you know, lost property, but that's not the real issue here. We're trying to bring them back to what we've been saying in our report, that you really need to address systemic racism, which gives rise to a lot of anger. And if we're missing the point, if we only call this a riot and that people were acting, in a way that was totally unexpected and improper. So that's what we're trying to get across. But we see that the officials are still saying, you know, this was the same things like the violence that took place came from people outside the community, which is basically saying the community accepts everything that happened to them in the city of Albany, and somebody had to come from outside to do, the dirty work. So, but we're saying, no, you've got to pay attention to what we're talking about and systemic racism, and it has to be acknowledged and addressed, but we need to come together to figure out what we can do as a community.
We're talking with Dr. Alice Green, the executive director of the Center for Law and Justice, talking about the issue of structural racism in the criminal justice and public safety system in Albany. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Alice, I know that the center has been trying to establish dialogue with the mayor and the police chief and the district attorney. One, how's that gone in general? But B, now that there is a whole lot more attention focused on the issue of police behavior in Albany, what do you hope seeing going forward?
Well, what we've been doing is we've been posing a number of questions to those officials, trying to get their perspective on issues, their thoughts, and what kind of action they will take. And each week we do a commentary and a response to their responses. Unfortunately, the district attorney has totally ignored that whole process, so we're not having any kind of dialogue or communication with the district attorney's office, which I think is a big mistake. The other officials have at least responded, but we keep asking the questions, and we're taking note of what they of their response, and if there's any action that they do to promote things like transparency, if they're thinking about how to deal with racism in its many forms within the department. And we will issue a report card on them, on each of the individuals in the fall. But we want them to participate in a symposium to talk about a lot of these issues, which are just not being addressed. And they don't seem to know how to go about doing it because they haven't done anything to really address the issues that our reports brought up or that we've been talking about.
So, Alexis, you had a question?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. First, can you comment on how the coronavirus lockdown starting a couple of months leading up to this has played into the situation?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, it has a lot of people are starting to understand the virus did reveal what systemic racism looks like, especially in the healthcare field, the criminal justice field, and people are starting to to recognize that people of color, black people, are disproportionately affected by the virus. Because of how they were treated and their access, particularly to health care, education, employment, all of those institutions. So, in one respect, that's something that's positive that people recognize it now, but it's also a part of, the criminal justice system as well, because it's affecting people inside those systems disproportionately. These are people who will be coming back into the community, and if we don't deal with the problems that are now, for instance, in our prison system, that the community is going to suffer from that. There are some people being released, but they're being released without any real care in terms of, health care and housing and all those other issues. So we've been looking at all of those kinds of problems and issues that, brought about this disproportionate impact of the virus on people of color. And we've got to figure out how do you start thinking about a society that is much more equitable in terms of its treatment of all people, because we are basically interrelated. So when something happens in the black community, especially with a virus, you're going to everybody's going to be affected. So, we've been looking at what brought about this disparity.
And then my other question is about the militarization of the police. Watching the live footage on Saturday night, the armored truck rolling onto the scene, and a huge debate on social media right now about this issue. I guess my question to you is, do you see, police showing up in military-grade armor, military-grade equipment to respond to this type of event? as just doing their job, or is it actually making the problem worse?
Yeah, I think they're making a statement about the militarism. I mean, we opposed the sheriff's department, other departments, from acquiring that military equipment in the past, but you know, they continue to use it. We talked to the Albany Police Department because it had one of those big van things, and we thought they had gotten rid of it, but it's still there. So when they have a problem in the community, they show up with this big van, which makes a statement that we are in control. And so the other thing is they are labeling the people who were there at these two demonstrations, at least the one demonstration in the evening, as violent people, and totally ignoring the violence that people of color had suffered throughout their history in this country, starting with enslavement, the Ku Klux Klan, where the criminal justice system, the policing was used to assist, you know, lynchings in the South. And so we've seen over and over again, especially in the Jim Crow era and the civil rights movement, where they still use, you know, military-type equipment to control people, vicious dogs and all of that, to send that kind of message, and then have the nerve to say that people who are reacting to this kind of treatment are really violent people. So it's not the way to deal with the problem, but I know that, you know, they think that because they use it and have to be seen as being in control always, that it's not helpful to the community.
So, Alice, this event took place a couple of days ago. You know, has the mayor or the police chief reached out to you to discuss the situation?
No, they haven't. They did not. You know, as I said, they basically ignored our original report when we asked them to sit down with us, talk about how we can, you know, deal with a lot of these issues. They have not done that at this point. We haven't gotten all the responses we wanted from them through the ongoing dialogue that we have on the Internet. So, you know, we're really concerned. And what the message that they're sending out, I think, is as I mentioned before, kind of dangerous when you just focus on this as being a riot and not mentioning or trying to think about how to address systemic racism within a department. And that they would have the nerve to talk about what's happening in Minnesota when we can't get them to talk about the killing of some of the people in this community in the past, and particularly will not talk about Eleazar Williams, who was shot in the back while running away from police. They will not talk about, and they promised give us a report on the brutality that took place on First Street. And I was promised that report in February, but we have not gotten that. So I think, you know, the people, you know, in government here really have to start really understanding that what they're doing now is not really affecting any, you know, positive change in how we deal with people. And so I think it's a perfect example. They have not reached out to us. The Center for Law and Justice has been there for 35 years. The community trusts us. They believe in what we do. We work very closely with everybody, and we, you know, we listen to them. And for these officials not to even reach out to us, I think is a terrible mistake and a terrible
mistake. Well, Dr. Alice Green, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been Alexis Goldsmith and Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Alice, if people want to check out your website, keep in touch with what you're doing, how best can they do that?
Yeah, we're cflj.org, and everything is on there.
Thank you very much, Alice.